If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 17, as we did for the reading, that'll be our first scripture tonight. It's good to be able to talk to you again. Tonight we're going to talk about lessons from Peter. And you see it behind me, kind of on the board, there's a question that we always ask young people, don't we? What do you want to be when you grow up? And you know, we get kind of the same answers from, especially from children as they're kind of young. And the kind of answers they give are typically things like, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a doctor, maybe a soldier. Some may want to be a police officer. That's always a one you hear, right? But what about being a Christian when you grow up? That's the most important thing, most important decision that we need to make. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. You know, and we always look for role models. And as far as being a Christian, one of the role models I always looked up to when I was growing up was Paul. You know, Paul was almost like super Christian, right? He was always out doing the Lord's work. He was suffering for Christ. He did everything he was supposed to do all the time. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, he makes this very bold statement when he's talking to the Corinthians and telling them how they should behave. He says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. How bold would that be? Would you be able to tell somebody that? If you want to know how to live like Christ, just look at what I'm doing. That's what Paul did. But when I look in the New Testament, and I seem to be more like Peter. You know, Peter was a great soldier for Christ, but like David, he had a few issues, didn't he? Peter always was kind of getting into trouble a little bit. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. I look at my life and I have issues. I fail in my walk with God. I lose faith or hope or sin carelessly. When Christ died for me, when he paid that awful price on the cross on my behalf, he did what I could not do. And then I feel low and feel guilty. It kind of goes in a big cycle like that, doesn't it? But before we beat ourselves up too much, we want to look at some of our heroes in the Bible. Tonight we're going to look at Peter primarily, but David did some pretty evil things in his day too, didn't he? Killed a man, took his wife, just did a whole lot of things that really wasn't what we would call being a real good guy. When we look over at Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, it says that he was a man after God's own heart. So we'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the lesson tonight. But then when I look at people like David and Peter, I say, well, you know, maybe there's hope for me too. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Peter is not a bad example for us to follow. And the first lesson we want to look at from Peter is that he was admonished by God. He was admonished directly by God. Of course, in the passage that has already been read for you tonight, Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, we look in verse 1 there, and Jesus took his disciples up on the mountain. So they go up on the mountain, and then in verses 2 and 3, Jesus changes right in front of their eyes. He was transfigured, changed into a glorious body, completely different than what he was normally here on this earth, not even a physical body like we have anymore. He was different. More like a spiritual being at that time. And so then, what's Peter's reaction? Well, Peter gets all excited, doesn't he? Man, it's good that we were here today. We can build 3 tabernacles. We can build 3 churches. Then what did God say? Chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. So the event ends pretty quickly, and God is speaking directly to the disciples, including Peter. How do you think Peter felt about being publicly admonished by God there? I mean, this voice came out of heaven and spoke right to him in front of there so that everybody there could hear. And kind of put him right back in his place. This shows us that God's plan is the only thing that we really need to worry about in this life. And so what's the lesson for us out of this story? story. Well, when I don't do right, I'm admonished by God too. When I don't do what I'm supposed to do, when I'm not living like I'm supposed to be living, then I'm admonished by God too. God expects us to obey and be different from the world. When we aren't, we are admonished. And you can see up there the whole scripture there, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. We're only going to look at one of those verses. I'm going to specifically read verse 13 for you. It's a verse that we are very commonly familiar with. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." So if we are the salt of the earth, if we are supposed to be providing the example to the earth, and we stop doing that, we're no longer living like Christ, we're no longer living and being that good example, then what good are we in God's kingdom? It says we're just like salt that's lost its flavor. It's really not good for anything anymore, is it? And so when I don't do what I'm supposed to do, I'm admonished by God as well. Another lesson we can learn from Peter is that he was forgiven by God. Let's just flip a few chapters over to Matthew chapter 26. Kind of toward the end of the book. Once again, something that we're very familiar with there. John chapter 21 we're going to turn to in just a minute. But Matthew chapter 26, we see that Peter and Judas both betrayed Christ that night, didn't they? Seeing how Christ is going to be crucified. And first Judas goes up and identifies him to the crowd and kisses him. And then Peter goes out and denies him three times in front of everybody that was there. So during this episode, both Judas and Peter betrayed Christ, but Peter was forgiven. We all know that story, and this part we want to look at is verse 69 through 75. And of course, it starts out with the three times that Peter denied Christ. So let's skip over to verse 75 and read the end there. And after Peter had done this, it says, "Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to them, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.'" What did Peter do? The rest of that verse says he went out and wept bitterly. He was very upset with what he had done. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Let's turn over to John chapter 21. Got still the story of after Christ's resurrection here in chapter 21. In verses 15 through 19. Just as Peter had denied Christ three times, Jesus seeks to restore Peter and ask him the same question three times. He says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" There in verse 15. And he said unto him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And so Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." In verse 16, and he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And then Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." So Jesus said back to him, "Tend my sheep." And then Jesus said to Peter a third time, he said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him and asked him that the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." So here we have the story where Peter had denied the Lord three times. The Lord went and asked him, did he love him? Three times. So what was the difference between Peter and Judas? Judas went out and killed himself. Hung himself on a tree. Peter wept bitterly and asked for forgiveness and went on to preach the first sermon in the kingdom of God. Two totally different approaches to sin. Judas had sinned when he betrayed the Lord. And then Peter did essentially the same thing by denying him three times. Yet it was completely different results. And that's because Peter sought God's forgiveness. Most people feel Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him because he had denied him three times. And so what's the lesson for us? Well, I'm forgiven by God too. I'm going to turn over and read a little passage here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Here the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Colossae, and we're kind of in the middle of a discussion here where he's talking about Christ, but it says, in him, or in Christ, in verse 11, so chapter 2, verse 11 of Colossians, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And basically what he's trying to do here is show how we are forgiven of our sins, right? He's going through the process of showing how that through baptism our sins are washed away. And then in verse 14 he says, or at the end of verse 13 he says, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So here we see the process whereby we go. There's a lot of other verses we could turn to, but this is one we don't normally look at to discuss something like this, so I picked it. But here we see how Christ takes away our sin. So when we have sinned, just as Peter did, we can turn to Christ to seek forgiveness because he is willing to forgive us as we sin if we have become a Christian. So he was forgiven by God. Next lesson we can look to in Paul's life was that Satan asked for Peter. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34, it's on the night when Jesus is about to be crucified, right before that. And Christ is trying to give Peter a little warning. So Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times that you know me. So here in this scenario, before the one we just looked at, when he denies him, Jesus tries to warn him, doesn't he? Jesus looks at him and tells him, you're going to deny me three times. You should go and pray and strengthen yourself. But what did Peter do? Verse 33, Peter didn't need any help. He was good to go. He said, I'm ready, Lord. I can do this. I'm even willing to die with you. But as it turned out, Peter was a little overconfident there in verse 33, wasn't he? Because just as Christ had predicted in verse 34, Peter did, in fact, deny Christ three times before the rooster crowed that very evening. There's other places we can go and look where Satan asked for people. We can turn back and go to the book of Job and see how Satan asked for Job. And why is that important? Well, if we're a Christian, then Satan's bound to be asking for me too. And that's why that's so important for us. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Here, Peter later in his life says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Satan's looking for us, isn't he? Satan's out looking for us. Are you ready? Well, let's go back and kind of get the whole context here. Let's go back up to verse 6. still 1 Peter chapter 5, kind of get a little more context here. He says, therefore, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. So that's what we should do now, humble ourselves before God and become Christian, realizing that we cannot have eternal life without the gift that the Father has provided. Verse 7, casting all of our care on Him because He cares for you. Then we get to verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So here's how we get around the fact, here's what we need to do when Satan asks for us. If we have humbled ourselves and sought God and are following Him as we're supposed to, then when Satan comes knocking on our door, then we can turn to God, and He does provide that strength. It says that there in the end of verse 10 that He will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And in the end, that was the difference between Peter and Judas. Judas did not turn to God and seek forgiveness. Judas had the sorrow of the world that Stan talked a little bit about this morning. And what did he do with that sorrow? Well, it led to death, didn't he? Killed himself. But Peter, what did he do? He turned to God. He wept bitterly. He changed what he did. And we're going to see a little bit later, the next time Satan came calling for Peter, Peter handled that a little differently. He didn't do the same thing. He didn't deny Christ 3 times like he did. So we need to turn to God and let Christ help us, just like Peter did. Got 2 more lessons to look at. The next one, let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. This is a story that we all know again. Most of the things we're looking at tonight, you already know. Of course, Christ has sent His disciples out. We're going to start in verse 27. He sent His disciples out. They're on the Sea of Galilee. And now it's the middle of the night. There's a big storm raging. And Christ is approaching. In fact, in verse 26, they look out there and they think, they say, oh, it's a ghost. It's really Christ. And so in verse 27, where we start, it says, immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. In verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So Jesus approaches, says, hey, don't be afraid. It's not a ghost that you're seeing. It's me. And so then Peter, you know, he's always first one to speak, right? Jumps right out there. He says, if you are the Lord, then have me come out there to you on the water. And then what does Jesus say? Verse 29, he says, come. So Jesus told him, come on. So then what happened after that? Well, Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. So that's a good thing, right? He got out of the boat. He's getting ready. He's walking toward Jesus right there on the water, just like Jesus is. But then when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So rightfully so, we give, you know, Christ talked to Peter a little bit and said, why did you have so little faith? You were walking only toward the water. You were coming toward me. Why did you lose faith? But the thing I want to remember, Peter's the only one that got out of the boat. So I do want to be like Peter. Peter got out of the boat anyway. He had enough faith in God to get out of the boat. I'm going to tell you, in the middle of a storm, I'm not getting out of the boat. Not unless I got to get in a smaller boat to get away because the big boat's sinking. So Peter did get out of the boat. But then what happened? Just like us, we start looking away from Christ and we start looking around in the world and seeing all the beautiful things and things that we want in life. And we get distracted away from Christ. And so what happens? We start to sink. Well, what do we need to do when we do that? Just like Peter did, turn to Christ. And Christ saved him. Jesus immediately stretched out His hand and pulled him back up. And said, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? So I think that's a good story. We always know Peter's the first one to do something. So the lesson for me is, well, I have faith to get out of the boat. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Again, the Apostle Paul is speaking this time to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And he tells us how to get prepared for that time when we're being tested. If Peter got out of the boat and he was doing fine, and then he was lost sight, lost faith, and he started sinking. So what can we do? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore," he tells us again, "take up the whole armor of God." So if we leave one little piece off, it's going to be a problem, right? We're leaving a hole. It's just like as a soldier, if I get up and I get all my gear on, but I don't put my helmet on, or I don't take my gun, I'm not really truly prepared, am I? And so once again, Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And then in verse 14, he says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation. And finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with prayer and supplication in spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So, I'm going to go back a little bit and talk just briefly about some of these things. How do we put on or gird our waist with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness and shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace? We've had to read the word, don't we? We have to study the word. We can't just read it one time and say, "Okay, I got it." We have to continually study and read and sharpen our skills. And then that helps build our faith. And it says our faith is the shield, which we can use to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. When Satan is hurling those darts at us, we have our shield, our faith, to protect us. And then, of course, when we get ready to go on offense, we have the sword of the Spirit. But we have to study. We have to be diligent in God's Word in order to have that help us. Sometimes we forget how scary sin is, how it destroys us and separates us from God. We just look and see the fun and the pleasure that we could be having, what we're missing out on. But really, sin is scary. It can separate us from God. We don't see the evil and we don't see Satan. Will you have the courage to step out of this world and into a spiritual life of Christ? Finally, we want to look at one more lesson from Peter, and that was his faithfulness in death. Remember what we read just a little bit ago? We read that Peter was going to die a death that would glorify God. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 12 through 15. Peter knew his death was drawing near. Here at the end of 2 Peter, he says, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent or in this body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." So he remembered what Christ told him, didn't he? That he was going to have to die. And he knows that his time is drawing near now. But even as he was dying, he cared for us. Peter did. He says, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." So even after Peter died, and Peter died 1900 and some years ago, right? But we still know what Peter had said, because it's written down for us. Just like he promised, we have the remembrance of those things that Peter wanted us to know. Well, what's the lesson for us? Well, First of all, we don't know exactly how Peter died in the scriptures. History tells us that Peter went to Rome and was crucified. And when they were getting ready to crucify him, he said, "I'm not good enough to be crucified by my Lord," and was crucified upside down. Does that sound like a death that maybe glorified God, like Jesus had prophesied earlier? So that's really what happened. Peter, he did change. He had denied the Lord 3 times, and now he died a death to show us all how to live. How is that important to me? Well, will I be faithful to death like Peter was? Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." But that means that we have to be faithful to death. We have to be willing to give it all up for Christ. We may look out and see a wonderful life and look at all the great wealth and power that we may be able to get. But God knows that all those things that we're looking at out there is going to be destroyed. Everything we can see is going to be wiped away. The only thing that's going to be left is our souls. That's what really matters. Is your soul ready? Are we going to die like Peter did? The death that would glorify God? I hope so. I hope we realize that Peter is a good example for us in the end. He was not perfect, but still pleasing to God. Living for Christ is not about keeping a set of rules. That was the old law. That was what the Pharisees did. They kept rules. We have freedom in Christ. Living for Christ is having your heart right. It's about having a relationship with the Creator of the universe, the King of Kings. That's what our life here is about. That's what living is about. David was a man after God's own heart, but not because David was perfect. He was far from perfect. He was a man after God's own heart because his heart was right before God. David hated it when he sinned, just like God hates sin. David couldn't wait to worship God, just like God wanted to be worshipped. David was careful to walk with God every day. David wanted to walk with God every day. And as a result, we can read over in Acts how he was a man after God's own heart. Do you want to be a man after God's own heart? A woman after God's own heart? I'm definitely more like Peter than Paul. Definitely not perfect, but striving to make my heart right before God every day. Are you ready to follow Peter's example as well? If you haven't done the things that it takes to become a Christian, then sadly you're not. But you can fix that. If you are a Christian and you've messed up, you can fix it. Just like Peter did. Go come before God and ask for forgiveness. Change your life and be different the next time you're tempted. If you need to make your life whole with God tonight, then please come and do so as we stand and sing.